It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Hello, boys and girls. Gather your family around the YouTube. Bring the turkey, something to chew on, because it's time for our annual tradition of doing a motherfucking podcast on motherfucking Thanksgiving. Craig, you can turn this off. This isn't for you. Stu, you're in. You took the test and everything. You're allowed to stay. And then bring everybody and bring in the nieces and the nephews and the nibblings. Bring in the parents, bring in the older, more racist parents, all of them, around the glowing embers of the laptop or the TV, smart TV, or your phone, if you have a big enough phone like me that can cover the whole family, because it's time for Thanksgiving. Hello, everyone! Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that releases on Thanksgiving. We're the only one. That's why you got to gather around the family for this special time. And for those of you just joining us, you know, relatives of one of our listeners, welcome. Please have a seat. It's going to be a while. We have a hat, not the one he's wearing. It's a different hat. We won't show it to you.
No.
It's magical. How is it magical? I hear you say, well, it has its own email address, which doesn't sound magical itself until you remember it is a hat.
Huh.
A human with an email address, not that magical. A hat is magical.
This hat does not have an email address.
No, see, very normal hat. We would not call that hat magical.
No.
I mean, maybe in a very aesthetic way, but not literally. This is literally magical in that it has its own email address. Oh, and I suppose you're wondering, what email address is it? What did it pick? TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. And people, maybe some people you're with right now, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with notes, comments, questions, topics, sort of whatever they want. Yeah. And then I was going to give yet another example, but then I didn't have any. And the hat, magically, I don't want you thinking it like sprouts fingers or whatever, magically forwards an email to us, and we read them on the air, talk about them till we're about done, and then that's the show. And except a lot of the times it's not. All right,
happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. What the crap do you eat on Thanksgiving? Satan, I assume.
What do you mean?
Satan. I mean, you don't eat turkey. You don't eat soy.
I mean, I eat soy, sure, sometimes.
What do you eat on Thanksgiving? What is your primary dish on Thanksgiving?
Sometimes there's nothing in particular. Like, you know, there's plenty of other food that I can eat. But if
you're just all about fixins.
Yeah, if I want something that is, you know, representative of what everyone else is having for turkey, ham, or whatever they're having, all, you know, there's certain companies that make things that you can get. Field Roast is a big one. Mm-hmm. That makes a, and it probably, I mean, I don't avoid soy completely. I've just, there was a point there where I realized, you know, if I'm going to keep eating fake meat, simulated meat or whatever, which I don't even care about if I do. I mean, that's usually I'm only doing that because mostly it makes other people more comfortable. Like when I go home and they're just having a cookout with hamburgers and hot dogs or whatever, they don't like that I'm only eating chips or I'm not eating anything but this, that, or, you know, baked beans or whatever. They want me to have something on the grill too. So it's okay. Yeah. I don't dislike that stuff. I don't particularly feel one way or the other about fake meat, but Field Roast makes a thing you can, you know, put in the oven and it's like a simulated turkey, I guess. Then there's tofurkey. Everybody's heard of that.
Yes. My brother-in-law is very big on tofurkey. He's a big fan. That at their Thanksgiving, they usually have a turkey for everyone else and a tofurkey for him.
Yeah. So like Field Roast has simulated hams. They have just about everything. If you're interested in something that comes close to being what everybody else is having, that doesn't really concern me very much. Some people feel sorry for me because I don't have certain types of leftovers that they have, which I admit. Back when I ate meat, turkey leftovers were pretty great. I do remember that.
As somebody who doesn't really care about turkey, I don't feel bad for you at all. I mean, sorry, I should back up. In general, I never feel bad for you about anything.
Right.
But specifically not that. Because, I don't care. As I get older, I think I appreciate turkey a little bit more, but it is way down the list of even very, very common meats. I would have beef, pork, chicken. But I cannot think of a meat that I eat that I would not take above turkey.
So Abby had duck at Halloween for the first time.
I'd have duck instead of turkey.
Oh, you would? Okay. She liked it. But I don't know if she liked it better than turkey, but I don't have to ask her.
I'm just not into it. I don't know what it is. To be fair, most of the time I have duck, it is in a lot of Asian dishes, and so the whole palate's different there. And I should say, like, I have nothing against turkey. I just find it uninteresting. And in general, I prefer fattier meats. So, I mean, if all other things were being equal, I would probably take turkey, dark meat turkey, over a chicken breast. If the preparations were exactly the same, but just by and large, no. But I like most of the fixings associated with Thanksgiving. The only real exception, and I don't dislike them again, but I'm just not. Mashed potatoes. I don't really care about mashed potatoes. If you want to get mashed potatoes that I love, you're essentially doing whipped potatoes that are loaded with so much dairy and fat that it might as well just be sort of a savory whipped cream almost. Those I love. But if you're just talking like fairly rough mashed potatoes to put gravy on, I'm like, no, just give me a cup of gravy.
Much better. I love mashed potatoes. That's a big one for me.
Most people do. That is a popular one. Stuffing, huge for me. I would just eat stuffing. And most any version of it. Sausage stuffing, homemade bread stuffing, stovetop stuffing, any of it. I love stuffing. I lament to this day that it is inadvisable to stuff your bird with stuffing. Because I would pick at the little bits that stuck on the carcass for just hours in the kitchen. It's so good. But
I didn't know.
I know a lot of people have. Yes. Botulism risk, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the inside of the turkey's got all sorts of weird juices. It's a similar thing. It's also ill-advised to put frozen meats in the crock pot, even though they do cook up eventually. The process of them essentially cooking and defrosting at the same time just increases the risk of certain bacteria.
Okay.
And
I thought the oven would take care of all that.
So to me, it is a very basic, you know, once it hits temperature, it's done. But apparently it's not that simple.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm not a food scientist. They told me to stop eating raw bacon, and I don't see nearly as many eye worms now. So I decided to trust them. Also, I never cook my own Thanksgiving, so. And there's pie. Pie is always good.
Mm-hmm. Love the pie.
Yeah, I am prepared to see some very terrifying blood sugars over the next several days when I wake up in the morning. And I just accept that's how it's going to be, as long as it's not too crazy afterwards. Once we go back home after we're done, you know, we'll get back on the stick. But I'm just like, yeah, it's not happening. I do a lot better. I don't overeat like I used to at Thanksgiving. I would say in general, I don't hit a point where I'm uncomfortably full. And for me, that is major progress. As a kid, I would just, if it was a food I liked, I would just eat until I threw up. And then I would usually go eat some more.
Wow.
And then young adulthood was a lot of like, oh, why did I do that? Oh, I need to sit down for a while. Ugh. Nowadays, I'm pretty good at like, take a very small amount of everything. And then later, if you want a little more, but also wait. And in an hour, come back and have some leftovers or whatever. So.
Are you going to be overnight where you're going for Thanksgiving?
Yes. Actually, we're driving there a bunch. So we are recording this on Tuesday. On Monday, we drove to where my in-laws are, but not their house. We drove to the sister-in-law's house to play Dungeons and Dragons. Because the people we play with, who are from Florida, come here because their family is in Illinois. And we also wanted to see them, so we hung out with them for a little while. We played D&D in person. It was very vicious. Major fight against some evil driders. And the final killing blow involved shoving poop in one of their mouths. Not my idea. We have a druid who really likes turning into an ape and flinging poop, and this one involved a melee attack of poop, which... anyway, but so we had a good... But so we drove all the way over there for that, and then all the way back.
Mm.
And then Wednesday, we will drive back in.
Wow.
And then we will be there till Sunday. And I will probably just start to hang out, kill time. I got my big, beautiful phone. I just purchased and downloaded a couple of games to the Switch because I can take the Switch with me easily. And so I'll just be hanging out. I'll probably nap a lot. That's kind of my deal. What about you? I assume the kids are coming over. Or are you going to the big family?
So, just like before, my family, everyone's like having Thanksgiving Day with spouses and things.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably going to be the way it is from here on out. Thanksgiving Day will be here. But I think the kids aren't going to come until Friday. Which, if you remember last year, they all conspired to subject me to seven? what were they again?
Tremors.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was interesting. So
Are we gonna have another annual Kids Hate Us Day?
Yes. I think that's what they want to do. And, you know, Abby's on their side. So,
of course, it's
also,
of course.
It's also what I Hate My Husband Day.
they must have mentioned.
But here's the problem. Mm-hmm. The oldest boy, the, you know, grandson, he apparently has nightmares and stuff if the movies are too scary. So they have to find something that I'm going to cringe at, but that won't traumatize the boy. And that's hard. Because like one thing they thought of was,
I agree.
Because all of them would like to watch a bunch of crazy shark movies, like Octopus Shark and Sharks in the Corn and Sharknado.
Avalanche Shark, Sand Shark, Ghost Shark.
Of course, I don't want to see any of those things. And so that seems perfect, but they're afraid it'll scare the 2-year-old. So they're struggling. And sometimes they'll suggest things that I don't want to watch, but it's not that bad. And that doesn't make them happy. They want me to hate it.
So they really want you to suffer.
Yeah. For example, they want to see Flash Gordon. I don't want to watch Flash Gordon.
Oh, really? Flash Gordon kicks ass. It's not good, but it's awesome.
Well, but I wouldn't, you know, I was even making other suggestions like, well, we could watch, if we're going to watch that, we could watch the Buck Rogers movie from back then. We could watch the Battlestar Galactica movie from back then. I mean, there's lots of bad sci-fi.
And they were already like, you're too into this.
I said, I won't like it. No, you won't hate it though. We want you to hate it. So I should have just kept my mouth shut. I should have just said, or
it's like, oh, geez. Oh, yeah. Beans. Not that. No.
Yeah. Put on more of an act, but I didn't show enough consternation. Yeah. So they're struggling with it. What we'll watch. And maybe we will just end up watching some cheesy sci-fi because the boy won't be disturbed by that. And maybe I won't hate it, but I won't like it either. So, but there'll be something.
See, this is ruining my day. I genuinely feel I should have something for this. Like, I'm mad at me that I don't have. If you know, and you're going to have to be quick on this, but luckily you're all listening to this with your family on Thanksgiving.
Right,
but if you know the thing, immediately go to themagicaltalkinghat.com and tell us. And we can get to it quick enough. If I see it, then I can text William if he's not looking. And then we'll make it happen. I really feel like I should have that one for this. And I'm mad.
Imagine if someone's been listening to this podcast and listening on Thanksgiving consistently. They've been doing it for 12 years. This will be this would be their 13th time, right? Because the first year counts.
I feel like my mental illness should make me more obsessed with like the dates things fall on with our podcast than your mental illness. But you're really into that. Like,
I'm just thinking of like, wow, we've been someone's tradition for over a decade. That's pretty cool.
And I'm just like, you're basically just being amazed that someone, that Thanksgiving falls on a Thursday.
No,
it's also we're nobody's tradition. Nobody listens to this.
That's what would amaze.
Nobody does what I ask and gathers their family around.
Yeah, I know, but maybe they listen. Maybe someone has listened every single Thanksgiving. Maybe, who knows? Wouldn't that be weird if we were?
And they take a break from scribbling their manifesto in their isolated cabin to tune in the ham radio to pick up the this is their one bright moment in the world. And it's us. How's it going, lonely stranger? Happy Thanksgiving. Please don't hurt anyone. I am excited. This is a year I really don't know what's going on in the world politically. So, like, I don't think I can stumble my way into an awkward conversation like that at the dinner table this time, because I'll just not know what any of them are talking about. It's great.
That's pretty handy.
All right, I have things on my list to talk about. Let's do the big one. You know this one already, but I'm going to put this out here. I have gone back to therapy as of literally like 3 hours ago.
Oh, okay.
Yes, William has driven me. Not literally, figuratively. Back to therapy. I spent 7 months not in therapy. It was probably after about 4 months that I started thinking about it again. But I had a lot of other things going on. I was changing meds. I was making some lifestyle changes, and I kind of wanted to minimize the variables. But I've been thinking more and more about it, and I had a real bad day last week, and so I set it up. And my therapist, bless her, even though she's not accepting new patients right now, made an exception for me. I went back in, and I was really unsure what I was going to say, which is unusual for me going in, and I ended up just rambling, like just not being able to keep it coherent. But she seemed to get the idea, and yeah, we're gonna go back to a roughly monthly thing again. It's not a lot to say about it this time. I found myself in that same position where I just didn't feel good. I didn't feel happy. In general, I have these emotional cycles that seem arbitrary and not based on what's going on. And I don't like that. So I'm working on that. I'm questioning a lot of things about how I want to live my life lately, and just seemed like a good time to go back. So, and again, I want to be open with our listeners as to my mental health journey, as it were. So here we are.
Good. I saw my therapist yesterday.
Oh, they did.
It'd been a few weeks. But
I think it is a universal thing. I don't say that very often anymore, because I've spent the last few years realizing I don't know what are universal things. But it really seems to be a universal thing that people who like therapy even and go and have therapy and then decide to stop therapy or have to stop therapy or whatever really drag their feet for going back. I don't know what it is. It's just this thing, even when like I definitely want like it. And I say this as somebody who's done this multiple times. Now, I don't know what it is, but there's this part that I'm like, yeah, no, I'll deal with that next week, or I should really look into that soon, or yeah, maybe. I don't think I'll go back yet. I think I'm doing okay.
Do you think that's only true for mental health or other things too? Like if someone really needs to see a GP and they kind of drag their feet.
That I don't know, because I have never gone any particular length without seeing a GP. I was raised in a household where you go to the doctor when you're supposed to go to the doctor. And if something's wrong with you, you go to the doctor, et cetera, et cetera. And then I kind of lived that way for a long time. And now I'm in a situation where it's just a cycle, because we go every quarter to check on, make sure we don't have to cut off my feet or anything. So I've never been that way. I would imagine it's probably similar.
I mean, it has been for me in the past when I need to make an appointment.
I have had a similar experience with dentists, and it has been like that for me. Yeah, it's probably all of this stuff. I don't know why, but that's boring. Let's talk about a movie I watched.
What'd you watch?
Watched a movie called Birth/Rebirth. It is new on Shudder. I will attempt to describe the plot as it is roughly conveyed in the trailer, so as not to spoil anything that is not covered in the trailer. So there's a woman. She is a nurse, I believe specifically an obstetrics nurse, in a hospital in the Bronx. She is also a single mother of a child who's like maybe five. I don't know. The child dies unexpectedly. Shortly after this, the mother was not present when the child died. So a little while later, they go to the morgue and are like, I want to see my kid's body and arrange for, you know, we're going to do memorial things and all that. And they say, okay. And they look up stuff and they're like, we don't know where your kid's body is.
Oh.
And the nurse is like, that sucks. Fuck you. Whose fault is this or whatever? And eventually she starts putting together that there's a doctor who works in the morgue who is like the last one to have signed off and keeps like avoiding her. Like she tries to get her in the parking lot and is like, can I talk to you about this? And she won't talk to her. And so finally she follows her home and basically breaks into an apartment and her daughter's there and not dead. And apparently this woman who is a doctor who works in the morgue has been spending many years working on how to cure death. Again, very sort of like that last movie we saw, Angry Black Girl and Her Monster. And so the nurse, the mom, is like, okay, let's do this. And she moves in and they do things to try and bring the daughter back to life. And hijinks ensue. And it's a horror movie. It's really good. Surprisingly very good. It is not the movie you would quite expect it to be from what I just told you. And it's also not the movie you would expect from the way the trailer plays out. It is a horror movie. It is not a scary movie. It is a very interesting movie, albeit with horrific elements. It is somewhat of a myth or a fable in that a lot, we don't get a lot of details that don't matter for the story, including a fair bit of how the process is working, but we get enough when it relates to how the plot goes. But also things like, and I was very grateful for this, because on paper this is not a movie I would like that. If somebody described that to me, no, I know how this is gonna go. It's gonna be a bummer and I'm gonna hate it. And this movie was a bummer, but it didn't. That wasn't the point. It didn't sort of luxuriate in that. And a great example I have is, so we have the mom and then the daughter dies. And the mom is fucked up about this because her kid died. We have some obvious beats and a couple of scenes to sort of establish where she is, but that's it. We do not spend time, you know, watching her eat pie on the floor or cry or give speeches to people about how she's not feeling, but like all the things, because we know that, like, that's, we've all seen bereaved parents in real life and in movies, and we know all that stuff. We just do enough so we know, like, of the possible ways she could be handling it, here's how she's handling it, and then we go on with the story. And I don't want to say it's not character focused, it very much is, but the characterization is mostly derived from the incredibly strange and awkward but changing relationship between the two leads. The doctor who stole the body and the dead mom and what's involved there. The child is largely not a character. And it's, I don't know, it was just really interesting. It's loaded up with metaphors and feminism and a lot of stuff about motherhood. And the subject matter really should have weirded me out and made me more uncomfortable. It didn't. It was just sort of far removed enough that I understood it, but it wasn't telling me, I want you to feel bad. And most of the horror is either ethical based or there is gore, never gratuitous. There's a lot of absolutely necessary gore, because we're dealing with autopsies and taking organs and doing invasive medical procedures and stuff like that. So I'm not going to say everybody would enjoy that, but it's not fun gore, and it's not like meant to make you feel awful or anything. It's clinical. Really well shot, really well put together in general. I believe it is a husband and wife, or possibly brother and sister, writing team who don't have a lot of experience in making films, but they are in the film industry. I don't know. It's really surprising. This is their first feature, and it doesn't feel like it at all. It's really all the pieces are put together really well. I would recommend it in general. It's very good. And little cherry on top for some people. The mother character is Carla from Scrubs. Carla, the nurse from Scrubs. So if you like Scrubs and like that character, it's really fun to see her in a role like this. Yeah, so that's how that was. What about you? You watch anything?
Blue Beetle. Saw Blue Beetle.
Oh, I'm very curious how you felt about Blue Beetle.
It's good. It's really good. Abby really liked it. She probably wants us to watch it again. It's really good. We felt bad for everybody who made the movie because it wasn't bad at all. I mean, it was better than a lot of Marvel movies, better than a lot of DC movies. If the timing on it had been better in terms of its release, I can't imagine that it wouldn't have done great.
Yeah.
I mean, there were, to me, the timing was everything about why that movie didn't do well at the box office. But it was...
To be fair, from what I can gather, and again, haven't seen it, timing and the fact that while it had distinctive touches, it wasn't that dissimilar from a lot of the, and that's sort of the thing. Part of the timing is superhero fatigue is really kicking in.
Right. I mean, it wasn't groundbreaking.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Yeah, yeah.
Except that I thought the representation, the Latino representation, yep, was really strong.
Absolutely.
And well done.
Absolutely.
But so aside from that, no, not groundbreaking or anything, but most of the movies, some of them that made $1 billion.
No, I agree. Worked. I mostly just mean it was going to happen to one of them.
Yeah, that's right.
And also, if this had been a groundbreaking, totally different kind of superhero movie, the timing probably would not have been nearly as much
agreed
of a thing.
I
this
agree,
one
I
came
agree,
out
agree.
And everybody's like, it's like a lot of the others. And everybody was like, no, thank you.
It's
including
it's
me. I might have watched it on Max if I had not heard that it was similar enough.
Yeah, you know? it's like you say, it's a hot potato game, and this was the hot potato.
But
basically,
it is a shame because this one was doing cool stuff that I would have liked to.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, if you're experiencing that superhero fatigue or whatever, you're not gonna, and if you can appreciate seeing such a well-done representation, if you can appreciate that, I think you would like it. Also, there was an angle to this. I thought about this when I was watching the trailers, but certainly while I was watching the film, it definitely had a Greatest American Hero vibe to it, which I really appreciated. And which I think a lot of people missed, because like when I watched the pitch meeting on it, and other people had similar criticisms about how there were certain themes not really explored in it, but they couldn't be because that whole great, I mean, I don't know if you ever watched Greatest American Hero or not.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But a lot of that was, you didn't know where this thing came from. You didn't, I mean, a lot of it was about what you didn't know, and they didn't even have a way to go find out. And some of the criticisms are, well, gosh, how, you know, why was this character chosen and where does this come from? They didn't even address any of these questions. Like, I know, because that's part of it. That's part of the whole story, is you don't know. And it had some problems that other ones have, like the villain was very two-dimensionally drawn and stuff and not very interesting. All that.
Which sucks, because Susan Sarandon, that's such a waste.
Yeah, exactly.
But to be fair, we've wasted equally awesome actors many times.
Right. And but it was fun to watch. I mean, I'm not feeling superhero fatigue myself because I've been a superhero fan my whole life. So that's not going to happen to me. It just depends if it's a good enough film or not. And this was perfectly good. Abby and I said back and forth many times while we're watching, it's like, I feel so bad for these people because it's not their fault. This is good. I mean, as good anyway, as any of the other stuff that people have celebrated, and it's made $1 billion and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate that it came when it did. But if Abby wants to watch it again, I'm down for that. But I thought it was actually quite good. I thought the performances were quite good. It was fun to watch. It did have problems that superhero movies often have, but not any more than anyone else. I would say, on the continuum of superhero movies, where I personally would put the first Iron Man at the top. That's hard for me to do because I'd love to put a DC movie there or the Christopher Nolan Batman movies or something. But for me, it was Iron Man. The first Iron Man was just great. I've compared every superhero movie to that since then, and none of them has stacked up. If I put that at the top, and if I put, really any of
carefully.
Any of the bad Thor movies, I think.
Pick okay, one. Okay.
Doesn't matter. I mean, do you think there's worse than that?
I mean, I did actually watch the Halle Berry Catwoman.
Oh.
It's pretty atrocious. I've heard terrible things about Elektra. As a movie that I actually defended and used to say, I don't like superhero movies, but I did like this one. The Ben Affleck Daredevil is not.
All right, well, let's stay in Angley's the modern
Hulk. I mean, we got a lot of real terribles.
Let's stay in the modern MCU and
Suicide
the modern
Squad.
The modern DCEU.
Zack Snyder's ever done. Yeah.
That would exclude even the Nolan stuff.
You could do Thor the Dark World. For a long time, you and I have used Thor the Dark World as shorthand for a shitty superhero.
It seems like it. And maybe part of it isn't necessarily that it is the worst, but you can get a lot of consensus around that one, it seems like.
And it wastes Christopher Eccleston, so there you go.
Yeah. So if you put the first Iron Man on one side of being the best and that Thor movie at the worst, I would say this film is probably it's way beyond whatever the midpoint is of that, way beyond that. Okay. I'd say it's it probably is behind things like Civil War, and it's probably behind the Avengers movies. I mean, to be honest, but it's not that far behind. I mean, it beats a lot of the Marvel movies for sure, I think. And it beats pretty much all the DC movies, except maybe for Wonder Woman. I still like the original Wonder Woman quite a bit.
Me too.
I think Abby would probably put it about the same as, I think she'd put Wonder Woman before this movie, but I think she really liked Aquaman. I think she'd put it at least in that general area. But I do. I think if it come out at a better time, it would have done super well. And here's another thing about that, by the way. So I watched this one critic who was always using statistics wrong. she likes to show, here's the breakdown of the racial breakdown of who came to the movies. And I don't know where she gets these stats, but it'll show 50% Caucasian, 16% Black, some percentage of Asian or whatever. And it's done in a way where it almost always equals 100 or 98 or whatever. Right. And she presents these numbers like she expects them. If it's a good four quadrant movie, if it has broad appeal, that all those numbers will be the same. Absolutely not taking into account, that these populations aren't represented proportionately out there. Right. A perfect movie that appeals to everybody the same would probably be 60% Caucasian, 14% Black, 18% Hispanic, whatever. That would tell you that everyone came out to see this movie. but she doesn't read it that way. She thinks the numbers should all be equal.
My favorite superhero movie of all time, I say this as a white person, is the first Black Panther. I'll bet you the breakdown for who went to see the Black Panther does not work out remotely either equally for everyone or based on actual population.
Right. Well, but see, and that's another thing is she doesn't and seem to
it
get.
It is a really good movie.
She doesn't seem to get that in that spread of statistics, if one number goes up, another number has to go down. Like, that's how it works. Because it's going to equal 100 no matter what. It doesn't mean white people didn't come out to see it. It means more Black people came out to see this movie than normally go to see a movie. Okay. So anyhow, but I know what these statistics mean. So I've been watching her present them over and over again, and I have found something very interesting. It is true that for Black audiences in particular, the proportion goes up for, you know, so-called Black movies, and they can go down for movies that just aren't Black movies. But by and large, the proportion of Black viewers and the proportion of Asian viewers are about what you'd expect. On occasion, you'll see it go up and down for reasons that are pretty obvious, like, you know, there's a famous Chinese actor, so the Asian number will go up in proportion or whatever. But for the most part, Black moviegoers and Asian moviegoers are showing up proportionally. White moviegoers, which should be 60 to 63%, almost never that high. Almost never that high. It's usually down closer to 50. But the Hispanic number, which should be 18%, 20, 25%. So what that says, obviously, is the people who identify as Hispanic or Latino are going to movies in a greater proportion or disproportionately represented in moviegoers, theater moviegoers, okay, than any other group. And in particular, they take up seats that white people aren't coming to the theaters as often to see. And that makes me curious. Like, I don't know why white people are going to movies less than other groups or why Hispanic groups are going to the movie theater more often. I don't get it.
I don't. What you just said about they're taking up seats that white people aren't going to, I suddenly thought of as another version of
replacement
theory. Immigrants are coming in and doing the jobs that citizens don't want to do. Like,
go to the movie.
Stop being mad that all these Latinos are going to the movies. They're just taking up seats that white people don't want.
Well, in this case, that seems to be true.
They took our movie seats. No, but I don't. I try, and I think I'm largely very successful to disregard racial stereotypes, let alone put any credence in them. But I am just going to say it. White people are super lazy.
You think that's it?
And we cannot be bothered to go to the movies. We are lazy motherfuckers. We just sit on our couches recording podcasts.
But there's at least three other racial groups that they're keeping track of in these statistics who are just coming in proportionally. Why would the Hispanic or Latino groups be coming in more?
Here's the problem with that is in order to comment on that aspect, I would potentially actually being saying something about different racial demographics and what it means, which would almost by definition be actually racist, as opposed to my first comment, which was just funny because I was making a stereotype about white people, which as the dominant culture, I can do that safely. And also as a white person. So I don't know, William. I honestly don't know why the white people aren't going as much either. I just thought it was really funny to say the one stereotype that's true is white people are famously really lazy and therefore don't go to a theater. So way to spoil my fun with your racism once again.
They're just numbers that have to mean something. Or maybe they don't have to. I mean, they probably do.
Don't mean anything. How do you feel? I assume you've seen the trailer. How do you feel about the Madam Web trailer?
I don't know enough about the property to feel anything about it.
Well, that's my deal because I'm a big fan of Madam Web. And by Madam Web, I mean the character in a specific iteration of an animated Spider-Man that I watched in the 90s, I think. And in that version, she's basically a cosmic entity. Like, he has dreams where he talks to her or whatever. Like, she's in some other dimension and she just sits in this chair and there's this giant web. And she, like, basically predicts slash guides the future. This trailer appears to be that Dakota Johnson can just see the near future and use it to do cool stuff. I don't know if she has Spider-Man powers. I don't know if the one in the cartoon was supposed to have Spider-Man powers. I know Madam Web is another spider-related thing, but I think it was also supposed to be a web, but she can see the web of possible futures, so she doesn't necessarily have to have Spider-Man powers. And it appears in the trailer that the villain is trying to kill these young women and Madam Web is trying to help protect them, and it turns out he's trying to kill them because he also can see the future, and they're all going to turn into various Spider-Mans and they'll be bad ones, so he's trying to stop it. None of this shit matters more than being eclipsed by the fact that Madame Web herself is played by Dakota 50 Shades of Grey Johnson.
Yeah, because isn't she, like, what I do think I know is that usually in the comics, she's like an older, like an old, very old woman.
Traditionally, in the cartoon, she was. So this is theoretically Madame Web's origins. But mostly, I don't. That's a good one. The casting choice seems to be very polarizing.
Oh,
because Dakota Johnson is, and I hate to just make this comparison because they are not the same, but shorthand, if you understand the ins and outs of the entertainment industry, Dakota Johnson is a Kristen Stewart. Dakota Johnson came to prominence in a trilogy of films that people love to talk about how terrible they are. In which, due to what appears to be very little of her own control, she gave a fairly bland performance. And in reality, she does a lot of indie films and is, frankly, I think, a very impressive actor. So, in other words, exactly Kristen Stewart. It's the same thing. And I'm pleased to say Kristen Stewart, I think, has really finally come into her own. And a lot of people don't associate her specifically with that anymore, nor should they. She's really talented. This seems like a weird choice. I think Dakota Johnson is very good. I'm still not sure I would see her as the lead in a superhero movie. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know. More than usual, I get the little voices saying, maybe you should see this one. But the trailer has shown me enough that there's a lot of loud voices that are like, you know exactly how this is going to go. I mean, you know, all the beats and all the twists, and then it's going to be giant CGI fight and a sky beam. Like, that's how every single one. Did Blue Beetle have a sky beam?
No.
Are you positive?
Yeah.
Come on. At the end?
No.
Were they in a place and then... Are you sure?
I'm sure. There was no sky
beam. I think you missed it. When you watch it a second time, look for a sky beam. I'll bet it's in there. A lot of sky beams.
No sky beam.
You didn't do the Marvels, did you? Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that. Azure Talon, you've got an email and we were going to talk about it. We don't got time now. You didn't see the Marvels.
I mean, I probably will, but no.
Me neither. And it's on track to be the least successful ever. With possible exceptions about Incredible Hulk. It's confusing. We haven't talked about this, right?
I don't think so.
All right. Yes, I'm kind of bummed out by it. I It's doing really bad. And admittedly, from what I can tell, one of the reasons it's doing really bad is it's not that good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like it's terrible.
Right. That's the impression.
And it's got a lot of other problems attached to it as well. A lot having to do with marketing, a lot having to do with how they led up to it. I'm shocked. It's less than 2 hours. Which actually they're also touting as a reason it might not be doing as well at the box office. For me, that actually, as soon as I heard that, I wanted to go more. Because I hate these fucking 3 hour things, especially if I can't pause it. But the theory is, for a lot of people nowadays, the cost of going to the movie theater is such that they want to get as much bang for their buck. So they want to do the really long ones. But yeah, it's like hour 45 or something. But it also, from what I could tell from late trailers, ends with big CGI fight in the sky. And I'm very sad about that.
Well,
I wanted this one to do well.
I liked Captain Marvel.
Yeah, me too.
I know a lot of people were critical of, I don't know how many people, a vocal number of people. I don't know how many it was really was, but didn't like how Brie Larson played that character or whatever. I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was just fine. Yeah. I liked it actually. So yeah, we've been kind of looking forward to it, but I mean, we've just got so many other things going on. We're not seeing anything in the theater. We're not excluding yeah. it deliberately. We didn't see Blue Beetle in the theater either, which we would have loved in the theater, and we did want to see it, but we're watching it here at home because that's what we've got time for. So
I'm just not, because I'm no longer that excited. I it really is becoming, I'm excited because it's the last thing I said I was going to watch in the MCU, and I'm excited to have that behind me. But yeah.
And Monica Rambeau, I liked her character in WandaVision. I thought, okay, yeah, I want to see her in other things. Now, admittedly, I didn't watch the Ms. Marvel TV show at all.
Neither did I. It didn't. I mean, the same reason I didn't watch a lot of them. She seems really cool and fun. It was a lot of generic MCU shit I didn't care about, plus a lot of teenagery stuff that I really didn't care about.
right.
So yeah, I'm definitely in that
camp for sure.
But yeah, I just was surprised at how like instantly it was like, oh yeah, this is not doing well, and this is not going to do well. And again, I feel like this, people read into this, you know, this is going to be touted as another, oh gosh, they don't want women led superhero movies. And honestly, they've done really poorly with Captain Marvel in general. Because I also like the first Captain Marvel, although it's not one of my favorite. Like, I liked it and then sort of never thought about it again quickly.
We're the same with that, I think.
But also, and I understand partially why they did this, but Captain Marvel happened, and then Captain Marvel showed up at the very end of Endgame, and then Captain Marvel has popped her head up to say a couple of words in a couple of them, not a lot of them compared to most. And that's all we have heard. And so they have sort of set it up, so nobody really gives a shit what's going on with Captain Marvel right now. Mm-hmm. And I understand part of it because Captain Marvel's basically a god. And if Captain Marvel shows up, there's no reason for anyone else to have shown up. She's too powerful. And I get that, but like, you got to find a way to deal with that other than, oh, she's in space somewhere. It's fine.
She's in space somewhere.
That's what it fucking was.
Yeah.
When we were leading up to whatever, she was like, Earth isn't the only place that Thanos has met. And that was the whole excuse. And then she never came back until the very end. So, yeah. I don't know. We are still doing Witcher. We're midway through season three, which I really do think is going to be my last season. The Witcher world just sucks. I mean, the Witcher world is brilliantly detailed and incredibly alive and dynamic and interesting. And everyone in it is terrible. Like, Geralt, the main character, is probably the best, most upstanding, kind, sweet person in the entire world. And he's a shithead. And I think he's the best one. Including the other good guys. Like, I think he's a better person than Yennefer. I think he's a better person than Ciri, and also everyone else in the entire world. And he's a shithead. It's just too bummer of a place. So yeah, and also this will be when Henry Cavill's leaving, so it's a good time to get out. We'll see, but. I think that's all I got. Honestly, I want to go eat some more pumpkin pie. I don't have any right now, but when this goes out, there will be. So
yeah,
by the time you all hear me say that, I really will want more pumpkin pie. So it's only a lie for William, and as we all know, it's fine to lie if it's to William. If you'd like to lie to William, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell him whatever you want. Lie to him about stuff. Also, tell us your Thanksgiving tradition that is not as cool as gathering your family around this YouTube to listen to me swear and talk movies. And also, William's there too. That was the working title of the show, by the way. Before the Magical Talking Hat, it was going to be Tony Swears and Talks About Movies, and William is there too. .com. That's why we didn't do it. The URL was taken. Also, write in. You know, I guess I spoiled that there's one from Azure Talent, but that's the only one at this moment. So give us more. Give us more in time for Satan's episode, which is just about a month away. So get excited for that. Did you say this was episode 662?
I didn't.
And that you were William?
Nope.
You fail. This is why I won't give you a key to the podcast room. You can't be trusted.
You're supposed to say I'm Tony first. You're supposed to say you're Tony. You didn't say it.
I'm hearing a lot of complaints, not a lot of solutions. I do love that line. That's always a fun one for me. Like, yeah, I get what you're going for, but also you're just saying you didn't come up with nothing. Yeah, it's fresh in my mind because my therapist says it to me a lot. It's her favorite thing to say to me. Hearing a lot of complaints, not a lot of solutions. See, and what's really fun is now that you're almost a therapist, I bet you find that so much funnier than you even would have. You would have found it funnier before. I mean, you would have found it funny before, but I feel like now it probably really,
yeah,
it hits you where you live.
Yeah, it takes a different meaning for sure.
All right. Apparently now I'm just dragging my feet so I don't have to go back and talk to my in-laws. I gotta go, people. Because I have a family who loves me and isn't trying to make me watch movies I don't want to. That is a lie. A lot of the holidays at my in-laws is making me watch movies I don't want to watch. But we don't care if the children see. So we hope you've had a lovely time, and gather around the laptop now and play some video games.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, Visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.